Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Instead of how much is that doggy in the window, the better question to ask these days is, what is that doggy? We used to just call them mutts, those dogs that had the face of a Labrador, the body of a Whippet, and the personality of a Jack Russell Terrier. They were always a source of great debate at the dog park. Now, many mixed breed dogs are designer pooches that come with a hefty price tag. But knowing what composes a dog's genetic background can be more important than just settling a debate. Knowing which breeds are in your dog's genetic history can answer questions regarding health and behavioral issues. My guest today is Dr. Angela Hughes. She is a veterinary geneticist at Davis, California. We'll be right back after this short break to talk to Dr. Hughes. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Pick up something unique at a Bone to Pick dog boutique. A Bone to Pick has cool hip fashions for big and small dogs that will have their tails wagging in style. Cat products too. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Check out our eco-friendly pet products and gifts for humans too. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Get your pet's mouth watering monthly with our Gourmet Treat of the Month Club and join a Bone to Pick's free birthday club for your puppy. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Pick up something special for your best friend at A Bone to Pick. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Get 10% off with coupon code PETLIFE.
Got a cool cat. Got a cool cat. Got a cool cat.
Do you have a cool cat in the house?
Well, of course I do.
Got a camera? Then take a quick pic of your cool cat and enter the Pet Life Radio Cool Cat Contest. Pet Life Radio is partnering with Morris and Nine Lives to give you the chance to win a really cool cat care kit. Get a Nine Lives Play and Scratch Play Post, Nine Lives Woolly Cat Bed, Nine Lives Food Bowl, Morris Play Spinners, and much, much more. You'll also get an autographed copy of pet edutainer Arden Moore's new book, Happy Cat, Happy You.
That.
Everybody gets a chance to vote, and the top five coolest cats win an awesome cool cat care kit from Pet Life Radio and Nine Lives. To enter, just go to the PetLifeRadio.com website or CoolCatContest.com.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Dr. Hughes, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about what is a doggy or and cat and everything else geneticist. How'd you get into that?
It's an interesting story. Well, I started out in veterinary school, obviously, and prior to veterinary school, I did my undergraduate work at Reed College, where I completed my thesis, my senior thesis in genetics. And so I went into veterinary school having some background in genetics and having done a little work in the genetics industry before veterinary school. And when I was in school, it definitely caught my eye every time something genetic came up. And towards the end of my veterinary school career, I found that there was this genetics residency and this specialty in genetics. And so I looked more into it and said, you know what, this is always something that's interested me. I should follow this line of inquiry, and decided to go on and complete the residency in genetics. And now I'm completing my PhD in genetics as well.
Extra initials after the name never hurt. I'm very impressed.
Absolutely. I'm getting my alphabet soup.
I think a lot of people would be surprised and kind of be interested in knowing, where did our domesticated dog first come from? Is it from a wolf? Is it from a what? Any idea?
The current thoughts are that the domestic dog did come originally from the wolf, and may have been domesticated in more than one area of the world. That's still under debate and research. Depending on who you talk to, some people feel it's out of Asia and some people feel it's out of Africa. But needless to say, they do believe that it's likely from what we consider today to be the wolf.
And what is amazing, into my practice will come that 3-pound Chihuahua, knowing that this little creature that's so teeny is from the same genetic background as a 150-pound English Mastiff. Where did this divergence come from? How did we get such totally different dogs?
Many, 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 many hundreds of years of selective breeding is how we arrived at this. The dog is definitely the most diverse species on the planet. Everything from, like you said, the couple-pound Chihuahua up to the 150, 200-pound Mastiff. And no other species has that hundredfold range within a single species. So dogs definitely are unique there. And ironically or amazingly enough, out of the estimated 20,000 genes that all dogs carry, 99% of their genes are the same across all breeds. It comes down to a very select few genes that makes up the difference between your Chihuahua and your English Mastiff. Particularly in those cases, obviously, a couple of genes largely involved in size are the major players to distinguish the differences. But there are also, obviously, genes involved in coat colors and coat types and head shape and body, you know, shape and body size, and then all the behavioral traits as well, which we're only just barely starting to scratch the surface of understanding at this point.
Why is it important to know this variation, or is there really a medical basis that this is going to help, knowing how they vary by such a small amount and how it can affect their bodies, or does it affect more than just their body size?
Certainly how the genes come together in each of the breeds is going to dictate certain things. Disease-wise, which disease genes each dog carries. So just like humans, dogs can carry genes that cause disease, and obviously those are going to tend to be more concentrated within certain breeds versus other, depending on where those mutations have arisen. But also structural genes can play a role in developing traits or diseases down the line, and those are obviously going to be of interest to the client as well as the veterinarian.
What I think may be interesting also to the pet owner is they have a dog, and she, scoots out, and she gets pregnant and comes back, and they have the litter, and maybe there's 8 puppies, and all 8 of them look very different. How did that happen?
There could be a couple of different things at play. One of them is dogs are able to have multiple sires of a litter. So if she happened to have an oopsie breeding with more than one male, she can definitely have different fathers for different puppies. The other thing is, you know, depending on how mixed mom is versus how mixed dad is, the genes from each of the dogs can combine in many different ways across all of the siblings. So with each of our siblings, even in humans as well as in dogs and cats, we're only on average 25% like our brothers and sisters. Your mother gives you 50% of your genes and your father gives you 50%, but the chances of you getting the exact same 50% from each parent as your brother or sister are slim to none, obviously with the exception of identical twins. So on average, each sibling has approximately 25% of the same genes that your brothers and sisters do. So that way, within a litter, you've got 8 different puppies. Each one can be dramatically different depending on what you started with. Within a breed, most of those traits are what we call fixed, meaning all the dogs within that breed, say golden retrievers, they're all yellow dogs with black noses and black eye rims. So all the puppies are going to look basically the same because those are the only gene options they're given. But when you're talking about breeding mixed breed dogs to mixed breed dogs, you have a lot more genetic options, so to speak, and it just is a matter of which genes come together in each of the puppies to tell you what you're going to get in the end.
So it's amazing that my two sisters and I look so much alike, because it's really just kind of a toss-up in the air as to what we're going to look like at the end.
It is. It also depends on your lineage and your ancestry. So if your family is, you know, largely of one area, then chances are you're going to have a smaller, you know, gene pool to pick from, so you have fewer genetic options. Whereas when you become a mutt like I am, where I'm English and German and French and Irish, you get more play in terms of what genes are coming together. So while I do have a family resemblance to my brothers, I don't obviously look exactly like them. And in fact, I'm short in comparison and darker haired than they are. They're lighter haired, and we have variation in our eye colors as well. So it just depends on the genes that you're working with and then what comes together in each person or each dog.
Why is it so important for, and oftentimes I'll have clients come in saying, oh, you know, I have this great dog. It's the sire, the father of mm-hmm. this little girl dog here. And I want to breed the two of them together because they're both so cute and have such great personalities. What are the detriments to going ahead and breeding siblings, or in this case, a father to a daughter?
The issues that go along with that are that, like I said at the beginning, each of us and each of our dogs do tend to carry certain genetic mutations that can cause disease. And when you start breeding closely related animals together, the chances of producing an offspring or producing a puppy that has that genetic disease as a result of getting the genes involved from both sides, both their mother and their father, are going to increase. I did have an example when I was a resident of a Bichon Frise breeder who had an accidental breeding between a mother and a son. And she was worried about whether the puppies were going to come out looking mutant or have any other, you know, major problems like that. And we have to remember that in terms of, like I said before, mom and dad each should contribute 50% of your genes. Well, in this case, mom was mom and grandma, so she contributes 75% to these puppies. And as it turns out, she actually had some issues with allergies, with skin allergies and such like that. And the puppies did end up, a couple of them, having some skin allergies as well. And that was, you know, the deck was pretty stacked against them, so to speak, because she was contributing 75% of their genetic material, even though she was still only one side, because she was technically on both sides of that dog's pedigree. The other thing that came out in that litter was eye problems. I believe grandfather of the litter, so the mother's father, had developed some cataracts previously, and while we think certain cataracts are genetic, it did show up in this litter having cataracts, so it's very likely that mom carried the gene from her father and passed it to her son, and then both of them together passed it on to the puppies, and while mom and son were okay, the puppies that resulted had gotten two copies of that defective gene and therefore developed cataracts. So it's not necessarily a good thing to be breeding very close together like that, and that's why.
Genetic testing is such a hot area of interest in human medicine, where there are certain diseases I know that you can test for prior to getting pregnant, or testing the baby to see whether or not it may have something like Down syndrome. Is there that type of genetic testing now available for dogs?
Yes, there is. It depends on the disease in question. Certainly, we have found disease genes related to various and sundry issues within dogs. One of the main things out there is eye diseases, particularly progressive retinal atrophy. It's a disease in a lot of different breeds, and it's manifested differently usually in each breed. But we have found a number of genes associated with that disease in dogs, and it depends on which breed you're coming from, which form you're likely to have, and therefore which test you would run. But it is found in a lot of breeds, and we do have genetic testing available and recommend doing that prior to breeding, say, a Labrador or a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever. You want to check and make sure that they do not carry, or if they do carry that gene, you want to breed to a dog that doesn't, so you won't produce affected offspring.
That's one of the areas where clients so many times will come in and they have this just great dog and perfect personality and just, you know, all those things that make the wonderful family dog. And these people are not professional breeders. And so often they say, oh, you know, all my friends want a dog. And, you know, there's this great dog down the street that we want to breed to. And I know they'd make great puppies. I always try and counsel these folks that there's so much more involved than just taking two nice dogs and putting them together, because you're always trying to pass on the absolute best of a breed. So getting all the genetic testing, if a breed is predisposed to certain problems, making sure they're free of certain types of sexually transmitted diseases. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it. So it's not just a matter of let's get some nice dogs together. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, completely, wholeheartedly. Doing a good breeding is not a cheap endeavor by any means. The average breeders that are out there doing it right are losing money or barely breaking even. It is something that I tell people, I explain to them what it takes to get a dog pregnant. You know, the costs, like you discussed, pre-breeding testing, be it for sexually transmitted diseases, genetic diseases, doing radiographs or x-rays of their hips and elbows and things to make sure that they're orthopedically sound or they don't have any bone problems or joint problems. All of those things add up, you know, confirming when she should be bred. Usually it takes a couple $1,000s to get a female ready for breeding, and then you have to do similar testing in the male and make sure that he's fertile in advance and things like that. So all of that stuff has to be invested before you can even think about putting the two dogs together and seeing what happens. And then you have to worry about actually giving birth. That is, actually, again, a potentially very expensive and life-threatening consideration. So you could have something happen to the puppies during delivery where you might lose one or more of the puppies. You may need to go for an emergency C-section, and she may have to undergo surgery to remove the puppies if they aren't being born properly. And that, depending on when it happens and where it happens, can cost you anywhere from a couple $100s to a couple $1,000s just for the C-section. And you may lose your female because she might have complications associated with the delivery or with the C-section or afterwards that are not to be taken lightly going into it. It's something that you have to really weigh carefully and realize there's a lot of investment monetarily, time-wise, emotionally. You might have to take care of all these puppies yourself if something happens to her. It's a big consideration, and people need to take it seriously.
Well, we've been talking to Dr. Angela Hughes, giving us some great background information on genetics. And if you think that you're going to breed your dog and earn back all that money that cost you to buy the dog, it sounds like that's not going to be the case. Well, right after this break, we'll come back with Dr. Angela Hughes, a veterinary geneticist, and talking about the great way to find out what is that dog of yours. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Fluff your feathers, roll out your tongue, shine your fins, snap on your leashes, and grab your human. It's the Louisville Pet Lovers Expo. Two full days of pet-tastic fun that no pet lover should miss. Join us for shopping, the Barks and Couture Fashion Show, Dream Pet Wedding, Ultimate Pet Makeover, Pet Communicator, Rescue Me Pet Adoption, Service Dog Demonstration, and tons of fun contests. Bring your pets and join us at the Louisville Pet Lovers Expo, Saturday, September 27th and Sunday, September 28th at the Kentucky Expo Center. For more information, go to LouisvillePetExpo.com.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Dr. Hughes, you've been talking about purebred dogs and breeding them. Well, all of a sudden now we have those designer mutt dogs. And I'm impressed because people are paying big bucks for dogs that we used to call mutts. But now there's some dogs out there, you don't know what they are. Tell us about this great test that's now available for determining what is that doggy in the window.
Well, let's start with an overview of what the Wisdom Panel MX is. The Wisdom Panel MX is a new state-of-the-art test available on the market for people to perform genetic testing, like you said, on the mixed breed dog to figure out what are the breeds that are involved in your dog's lineage. To understand truly what it is or how we got there, we could step back first and take a look at the company that developed this test. So Mars Incorporated is the overriding company that not only owns Mars Veterinary, the company that produced the Wisdom Panel MX, but also owns a number of other veterinary-related companies, particularly some of the top nutrition companies out there, including Waltham, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Whiskas, and various other brands. But needless to say, the Waltham Center for Pet Nutrition is one of the key research centers in veterinary medicine and veterinary nutrition in the world. And there they have conducted a lot of research into what we should be feeding our purebred dogs. And they've developed, as your listeners may know, many breed-specific diets that are available now on the market that are useful for people who have purebred dogs. However, one of the researchers actually in Japan about 10 years ago or so now said, you know what, we're learning so much about our purebred dogs and what we should be feeding them. We should have a better idea and better understanding of our mixed breed dogs and what their needs are in terms of nutrition, disease, etc. And so he actually proposed the idea of looking at the mixed breed dog genetically to get a better handle on the breeds that make them up and therefore how they should be treated and fed and such. So he sparked this idea, but at the time we didn't even have the technology available to really pursue it. It wasn't until about 5 years ago or so when the dog genome, so all of the dog's DNA, was analyzed. So we looked at basically every single bit and piece of a dog's DNA and mapped it, so to speak, and found out what the bases are, the sequence of the canine genome is. And from that information, we've learned a lot of things. One, as we discussed about previously, dogs across the board, regardless of the breed, are basically 99%+ the same. But we also found that there are small differences that we can use and exploit to determine the differences between breeds from the genetic level. And so that's where this type of testing became feasible. So we can now develop signatures that are specific to each of the breeds and use those DNA signatures to identify the breeds that compose the mixed breed dog.
How many different breeds does this Wisdom Panel MX actually search for?
The Wisdom Panel covers 134 of the American Kennel Club breeds that can be present in the mixed breed dog, and that does cover over 99% of the AKC registrations each year. The way the panel works is there is a small blood sample that needs to be drawn by your veterinarian, and that gets sent to our lab where they extract the DNA from the white blood cells, and they run the 300-plus markers that we use in our test, and then that data for your dog gets sent off to our computer that runs a special program that we've developed that looks at the data and says, okay, if I had to call Fluffy one thing, what would she best match out of the 134 breeds we have available? And then it says, okay, if I had two breeds in Fluffy, one coming from mom and one coming from dad, what would Fluffy best match? And then if there were three breeds involved and four breeds. So it builds all of these pedigree trees from the very simple one or two breeds involved up to a very complicated tree with eight Greek grandparent breeds coming together. And it determines a statistical score for each of the trees it builds as to how well that tree actually matches to Fluffy's data, and picks out the one that's the best match. And then that gets sent off to the client and to the veterinarian. So we do cover 134 American Kennel Club breeds at this time.
Amazing. So I have this designer mutt dog, or I just got it at the shelter, and it's a little rescue dog, and I have no idea what it is. To me, it looks like maybe it's a golden retriever, German shepherd poodle thingy. So I go to my veterinarian, have a blood sample drawn, send it in. What kind of information am I totally getting back? What do I look at? What does it tell me?
So what you will get back from Mars Veterinary is a full-color customized report that describes the breeds that are involved in your dog's lineage over the last three generations. And then it also gives a relative proportion of each of those breeds as to whether they make up a large amount or a smaller amount of your dog's genetic history.
And what if the mother and father, they're not purebreds themselves? You know, they have this hodgepodge in their own background. It's still able to kind of sort out all these various breeds?
So if we have a strong match, something that's likely to be a parent or more of your dog's genetic material, we can determine that versus something that appears to be at a smaller amount, be it a grandparent or a great-grandparent. We do go back those three generations. And when you do move away from a dog that has purebred parents, so say Fluffy has grandparents or great-grandparents that are purebred, but both of his parents were mixed-breed dogs, you might not see a whole lot of the traits coming through from the breeds that are further back, just because those genes haven't made it to him or they've been masked by other genes. So one of the things that I look at when I evaluate a mixed-breed dog is not just whether it looks like the breed's called per se, an identical match or not, but whether I can obtain the genes necessary to make what this dog looks like from the breeds we have in his background. So, for example, one of the genes that comes up pretty frequently is the gene for long versus short hair in the dog. And actually in the cat, this gene called FGF5 or fibroblast growth factor 5 has been recently identified as one of the major genes, or the major gene at least, for determining how long a hair is, whether it's short or long. There appear to be other modifier genes that change the distribution of the length of the hair or give it wire versus curl or that sort of thing. But whether a hair is shorter or longer is controlled by this FGF5 gene. And what it does is it produces a protein that goes to the cell, the hair cell, and says, all right, it's time to transition from the growth phase to the death phase. So it tells it basically to stop growing at the right time and to shed. And if it's broken, it can't tell if that protein or that gene is broken, it can't tell the hair cell to stop growing. So you end up continuing to grow and you get a long-haired dog. So things like that, where those genes may be coming together from multiple breeds, we can use that to identify what pieces and parts might be coming from more distant ancestors. Another interesting gene that comes up, a lot of people get confused about, is size. So what if Fluffy was identified to have a miniature pincher and a cocker spaniel? And people are like, well, but the dog only weighs, 10 pounds. How does it have a cocker spaniel? It should be 25 pounds in the 10-pound dog. Well, they've identified one gene in particular that's involved in size called IGF-1 or insulin-like growth factor 1. And that gene seems to be a very major player in size in dogs, but doesn't quite cover all of the variation that we found in dog size. So there's probably a couple other genes involved in size. But needless to say, this one does play a large role, and it's important to remember that there's probably only maybe three or four major genes in size, and if you don't inherit those genes from the Cocker Spaniel, you inherited them more from the miniature pincher, you're going to be miniature pincher size regardless of what other genes you got from the Cocker Spaniel. If you didn't receive the gene for size from the Cocker Spaniel, you weren't going to be Cocker Spaniel sized.
Well, Dr. Hughes, this is really interesting, and it's kind of nice to know about size and hair length, etc., but how does this really affect what I'm going to be doing with this dog or how it affects the dog? What can I do other than saying, wow, this is interesting cocktail talk to say it's a miniature pincher cocker? How does it help me and my pet trying to give it the best quality of life to know what it's made of?
Well, as we talked about earlier, there definitely are things that diseases and such that are going to be involved in your mixed breed dog that you wouldn't necessarily be able to identify in advance as a result of not knowing the breeds that are involved. There certainly are traits as well that you might identify in your dog that you wouldn't have thought about until you knew the breeds involved. So certainly this is more information to help not only the owner understand the psychology of the dog as well as, you know, maybe some of the ways that it looks, but also to help the client and the veterinarian come to an agreement on a good proactive care plan for the dog. One example myself is that my dog looks like a overgrown Papillon. I've called him an overgrown Papillon for 8 years, and it was interesting when he actually developed epilepsy a few years ago, and his first seizure I didn't recognize as a seizure. He was basically scratching at his head and his neck, and I thought he was choking. So I took him in and took x-rays of his neck and his chest, thinking that there was something stuck. And we didn't find anything, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what that was. But then, you know, 6 months later, he had another what we call grand mal seizure, so full body seizure. And at that point, we started going down the route of seizure disorders and eventually diagnosed epilepsy. And that's when it dawned on me that his first episode was probably what had happened when he was scratching at his face. He had a more focal seizure. And after identifying the breeds in him, he's largely Cocker Spaniel and Maltese. Cocker Spaniels actually have an inherited form of epilepsy. So perhaps, we don't know for sure because we haven't identified the genes involved with epilepsy in Cocker Spaniels, but perhaps he got that from his Cocker Spaniel ancestors. And if I had known the breeds that were involved in him and therefore had an idea of the diseases of concern within the breeds that made him up, I might have recognized that first episode as an actual seizure rather than a choking event. So it's certainly just more food for thought and more information to help both the client and the veterinarian.
So even us veterinarians with our own pets, we don't always have the answers. So sometimes we need to do the searching also. Absolutely. I know there are some types of genetic testing that's out there that a pet owner can take a cheek swab, send it in, try to get information. Why is it that the wisdom test has to be, besides getting the blood sample, has to be performed in conjunction with a veterinarian?
Well, as we were just discussing it, the information obtained from a test like this can, certainly be a gee whiz cocktail talk sort of thing. But to really make use of all of the information that we can give you, I think it really needs to be done in conjunction with your veterinarian to, one, help you understand the results and integrate those results then into the care plan for the dog and identify future problems, hopefully more quickly because you have a shorter list when you know the breeds involved. So that's been one of the things that a lot of people say, oh, well, mixed breed dogs are healthier, they have hybrid vigor and all those sorts of things. And I say, yes, it depends on the breeds going in, though. And if you don't know what the breeds are, you don't know what your, you know, laundry list of options is, so to speak, when the dog does come in with a problem. Whereas if it's a purebred, you have a short list, usually, or sometimes a long list. But needless to say, you have a fairly definitive list of what are the breed problems, and that's a great place to start in terms of making a diagnosis and observing a problem. And if it's not one of those, obviously, you move on to other things, but it gives you some place to start and some handle on what's more likely within the dog. And now we can provide some of that information perhaps for the mixed breed dogs out there as well.
So it's something that would really be a great idea to have done on all mixed breed puppies. So you could use that as a baseline. Hopefully you'd never need that information for a medical issue later on in life. But if you knew that it's made up of this, this, and this, in case we start having a problem like you did with your little dog, you can go, I wonder.
Absolutely. And then it might also cue you in that you need to do other genetic testing. So, for example, there's a mutation in a gene called MDR1 that has been associated with, traditionally associated with ivermectin toxicity. Ivermectin is a treatment for various parasites and things, including heartworm, and we've found certain breeds have a problem with that medication, particularly in large amounts, as well as other medications. But needless to say, if you were, you know, if your dog was shown to have a portion of collie or Australian Shepherd or bearded collie or something along those lines that's been identified to have or carry this mutation, you may want to go on and have additional testing done by the appropriate lab. In this case, it's Washington State University, to find out if your dog carries that mutation and therefore do you need to be careful with these types of drugs in the future. And you wouldn't necessarily know that if you hadn't run a test to determine the breed composition of the dog in the first place.
And there have been times I've wanted to use, you mentioned ivermectin on a dog for a particular problem. And it was kind of this overall view that if a dog had white paws, don't give that medication. So knowing,
treat. Yep.
Right, exactly. Now, there are different types of genetic tests out on the market right now. How does Wisdom Panel MX differ from those other breed tests?
The Wisdom Panel MX differs from some of our competition in a couple of ways. One, obviously, it requires a blood sample, which has been shown to be the best means of obtaining a high-quality, large amount of DNA for the dog so that there's less possibility of contamination and we have fewer issues with needing to resample the dog when you have a good blood sample, as opposed to our competitors who are using cheek swabs where there is the option or possibility for contamination either from food or bacteria that are in the dog's mouth at the time that they swab the dog. Also, there's, you know, user failure more often, so to speak, if the client doesn't rub the cheek enough to collect enough DNA or enough cells to get DNA from, that can be an issue. The second way that the Wisdom Panel differs from our competition is in the number of breeds that we can detect versus the other tests out there. We do have the highest number of breeds in our database that's currently available on the market with 134 AKC breeds. And then finally, the number of markers that we utilize in our test. We do have the largest number of markers with over 300 involved to determine the DNA signature of your dog and therefore to match it to the other breed signatures.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful test. Is it a very expensive test?
Prices are going to vary by location, but it does cost on average about $125. You can also obtain it from our website directly, as well as getting it from your veterinarian. The website, I'm sure, will be available on your site as well, but is also at www.wisdompanel.com. And there the client can purchase it directly and take it to their veterinarian for the blood draw and that sort of thing if their veterinarian doesn't happen to carry it at the time or happens to be out. They can be proactive that way. Otherwise, there are a number of veterinarians that do carry the test and are offering it within their clinics and can provide that service for their clients directly as well.
So the disclaimer on this is don't try this at home. Take it to your veterinarian.
Try this at home. Absolutely. This does require a veterinarian and people who are trained to obtain blood samples from your dog without causing your dog harm or injury.
You don't want to cut off a toe or do other things.
No, no.
Take it to your veterinarian. Now, this is all very good and wonderful. What is the future of this Wisdom Panel?
Well, certainly we have, like I said, 134 AKC breeds at this point in time, and we are developing new breed signatures to include the remaining breeds that we are missing, and potentially will expand to non-AKC breeds as well. One of the common non-AKC breeds that does come up that we are considering to include in the future is the Rat Terrier, which is, interestingly, most people don't realize this, not an AKC breed. It is a registered with other registries, but not AKC. So certainly we are working to expand our breed offerings in our database and make the test even more useful to more people in the future.
So if you have a dog that's bouncing off the wall and you want to know what it is, and you think that it looks a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you're never exactly sure what it is, now you have the opportunity with the Wisdom Panel MX to find out what your dog is. Our guest today has been Dr. Angela Hughes. Thank you, Dr. Hughes, for being with us. You've given us some great information.
Oh, you are quite welcome.
Well, the goal of this entire show is to entertain. I think we had some entertainment today. Educate, definitely have that. And to motivate you to be the best pet owner you can be. So if you want to know what your dog is and you're never really sure, and you find that now there's some actual medical benefits that you can obtain by knowing what the breed is, take your dog in, ask your veterinarian for the Wisdom Panel MX, or as Dr. Hughes says, you can also get it off of their website, which will be available on ours. My name is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Thank you so much for being with us today on The Pet Doctor at PetLifeRadio.com. Tune in next week for some more information. Take care. Bye-bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.